Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Howdy, everybody. This is John Michael. All things are possible with God. Do you ever feel like Mass is boring? Yeah, me too. And do your young people ever feel like it's boring? Guess what? We're going to talk about how to fix that. All things are possible with God. Howdy, everybody. This is John Michael. All things are possible with God. You know, sometimes we hear that the Mass is just boring, don't we? The singing is awful. The preaching is boring. The people are just mumbling through their responses. And so people leave. Only 17% of Catholics in America are coming to church nowadays. Only 15% of Catholic youth. The second largest denomination, if it were one, would be non-practicing Catholics. There's 30 million of them, and 50% of the people in the big mega churches down the street are non-practicing Catholics. They don't go there because they disagree with our doctrine, or they disagree with the sacraments. They miss the sacraments there. But they go there because they find engaged worship. And Pope Francis has asked us for a spirituality of engagement. This does not mean entertainment. It means engagement. There's a huge difference, folks. We got to be engaged. And what are the two areas that are most obvious? I love what my buddy Matthew Kelly says. He says, what are the two areas that we do the worst? It's obvious. Nobody wants to talk about the elephant in the room. We need better singing, and we need better preaching, don't we? Better singing, better preaching. So, we're going to take a walk, body, soul, spirit, in one of the last teachings I taught you about body, soul, spirit. And we're going to, God meets us where we are, because we're sinners, we're upside down. God meets us with the body. So the first thing we have to do, we got to drag the body to church. It doesn't always want to come. St. Francis called his body Brother Ass. And not that. He meant like a donkey. Why? Because donkeys don't want to go where they're supposed to go, and they don't want to stop going where they ain't supposed to go. So we got to drag the body to church, whether we feel like it or not. So off we go. Off we go. I have never been to Mass. I have never been to the Liturgy of the Hours where I regretted going. Jesus always shows up for me, and he will for you too. So bring the body to church. First thing we do physical stuff, folks. We come in the door, we dip our hands in holy water, and we make the sign of the cross. Oh, far too often we come in, we do this. It's like we're swatting flies. No, in the early church, they dip their hands in holy water, which means we're bringing the old self to the cross right at the door of the church, and we're going to rise again. We have come to the church to die to the old self and to be born again, a new creation. That's why we come. We don't come just to fulfill an obligation. We come to experience Jesus, and we do it through the cross. The early church, they made the sign of the cross this way. Hold up your right hand. Bring these two fingers and your thumb together, and these two fingers fall against the palm of your hand, and you have right there in your right hand, as you make that sign of the cross, the Trinity and the Incarnation. Three but one, and divinity and humanity, all right there. So we are going to make the sign of the cross. We're going to be born again through the dying and the rising of Jesus, and our participation in that through baptism and through the very gestures. Make your gestures slowly, meaningfully, powerfully. People are leaving the church in droves, and they're going to Buddhist monasteries to learn how to meditate and to learn how to do liturgy, to learn how to be liberated in liturgy. Why should they have to go there when we got liturgy right here at home? Let's do our own liturgy right, and they won't have to go. Well, then we come in, and the next thing we do is we start to sing. Maybe. Oh, I'm a singer, so this is one of my pet peeves, folks. Sometimes Catholic songs, they're composed badly. I feel like a Jew wandering in the desert trying to figure out where the melodies are. So we composers need to do better, don't we? But part of it is just singing. It's physical. You have to breathe in air, push it out with the diaphragm through the voice box, and make some noise. I go into Catholic churches, you know. I open up the hymnal, and I start. And because, you know, I'm a singer, I sing kind of soft, and I don't want to draw attention to myself. So I, praise to the Lord, the... And I'm drowning people out for rows around me. I'm singing a solo. And then the little ladies up in the front, you know, the ones who own the pews, they do this on me. I'll start to sing, and I'm sitting back there where you are. I go, praise to the Lord. And they pull this. As if to say, how dare you praise God in God's house? It ain't God's house. It's my house. I paid for it. Guess what? We got to start singing. And I know what you're saying. You're saying to me, John, I'm doing everybody a favor by not singing. Especially the people in front of me. And if you were in the choir, you might be right. I might have to come up and say, brother, sister, being a cantor is not your ministry. You should be a lector. But out of the pew in the congregation, we're supposed to sing. Those who sing pray twice. Say that with me. Those who sing pray twice. Why? Because it lets go of our inhibitions. Worship, the opening songs, we exalt God, we place God over everything we are. See, we don't hang on to nothing. Let it go and sing and worship and turn your negativity to positivity. Turn your grumbling into proclamation and praising and glorifying God. So we got to start singing. Why? Because our young people are leaving the church in droves, in case you haven't noticed. We think because World Youth Day is big and because, oh, the youth conference today, you know, out in such and such a city had 20 or 30,000 kids, that we're doing great. No. In the parish, we are perishing. We are losing our kids, and they are the future of the church. They love to sing. I don't care. You can sing hymns, you can sing Gregorian chant, you can sing contemporary songs. It doesn't matter. Sing. And in the evangelical churches, they have the opposite problem. The singing has become so good that it has become entertainment. And so people watch other people worship. We don't want that either. We got to find that place where our singing is engaging. Dare to sing, folks. It's life or death. How many of you want to reach your young people? See, if we keep going the way we're headed, we're going to end up where we're going, which is Western Europe, big churches. Empty churches. Do you want that? I don't want that. Let's get excited and sing. Get excited and sing. Let's take a moment, pause a bit. We're going to listen to some music maybe and sing.
In remembrance of me, this is my body. In remembrance of me, this is my blood. Whoever eats of this bread and drinks this cup of salvation shall not die, but shall live shall live forever. For his flesh is real food, and his blood real drink. Whoever eats of this bread shall live forever. Strengthened by heavenly bread, strengthened by bread of angels, the cup of salvation raise. Come all and receive, come humbly bow and adore before the mystery of mysteries, under creation's form, yet the creator of all, within flesh yet not enclosed, incarnate and transcendent, consumed by all yet not destroyed, received by all and adored. In remembrance of me, this is my body. In remembrance of me, my blood. Whoever eats of this bread and drinks this cup of salvation shall not die but shall live, shall live forever. Shall not die, but shall live. Shall live forever.
Howdy. All things are possible with God. We can turn bad liturgies into good liturgy because good liturgy builds faith, bad liturgy destroys faith. So we're going to get going, huh? Well, what comes next after the body and singing and signs and symbols? Well, we're going to move into the soul, the spiritual mind, and we hear that in the liturgy of the word. We have that big ambo in most of our churches where we proclaim the scriptures. Did you know in the course of 3 years, we hear the entire New Testament and a huge portion of the Old Testament? In the daily cycle, same thing, but it happens in 1 year. We hear a lot of scripture. Are we paying attention or just shuffling around? We need to be listening to the word of God because, as St. Jerome says, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. Say that with me. Ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. It is the earliest written record in apostolic tradition about the life of Jesus and the life of the early church. So we want to really be paying attention. As we said in the early Jesus movement, we said, 7 days without the word of God makes 1 week. So don't let anybody tell you that Catholics aren't biblical. It's our book. It came forth from the church. It was compiled by the church. So don't neglect it. Don't take it for granted. It's the powerful gift. But the liturgy of the word includes not only the proclamation of scriptures. You know, we stand for the life of Jesus, the gospels, the good news. We sit for the rest because we don't worship the Bible. We worship Jesus, the Logos, the word incarnate, the living word. So we stand for that gospel. And it continues. with the homily. Oh, folks, Catholic preaching is notorious throughout Christendom as being terrible, just like our music. But we have in our history such great preachers, great evangelists. Augustine, Gregory, Bernard of Clairvaux, Bernardine of Siena. It goes on and on and on. Great preachers. They used to preach to 50,000 people at a time. Wow. So we got to rediscover this preaching tradition. So we Catholics come from this wonderful preaching tradition, and we're losing it. We have to rediscover it. We have to rediscover it. And I tell preachers, I say, guys, come on, man. Share your faith. Don't just dispense doctrine. If people want doctrine, they can read a book. If you're going to preach, you have to motivate. You have to inspire. So preachers, it's real simple. You don't have to be Fulton Sheen. Just share the faith you got. And you got the faith or you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. And if you've lost it, go find it. But part of it is us. See, preaching is like landing a plane. And they're only going to make a few points. And they come down on the runway and they look out into the faces of the congregants. And you know what they see? Fog. Lots and lots of fog. So what do? Well, you come in and you turn around and you try again. A preacher will try to make their point three times before moving on to their next point. So here's a tip, folks. If you want shorter homilies, become better listeners. Affirm your preachers. You do it with your eyes. Stay awake. Smile. Affirm them. And give them an occasional amen. But not too loud, not too often. They are Catholic, and you will scare them. Seriously, folks, it's so important. In other churches, preachers go for 30, 35 minutes, and people don't want them to stop because they've developed a reciprocal tradition between the preacher and the people that just makes the thing fun. Let's rediscover that. Let's not just watch our clocks. Well, we move from the soul to the spirit, from the mind of Christ to the mystery of Christ. And we do that when we move into the liturgy of the Eucharist. All we need for Jesus to be present in the Eucharist is for a validly ordained priest to pray the Word of God, and it is the Word of God that brings the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. In a sense, all we need is any good old bozo who's been through school and hadn't fallen into serious scandal and kept out of trouble, and he's still a priest. So we don't worship the priest at the liturgy of the Eucharist. We've come for Jesus. If the homily and the music was a movie, sometimes it's so bad I wouldn't pay real money to see it. But Jesus always shows up. And if he does, so can I. So can you. In the early church, they were fighting a group of people called the Docetists. They believed that Jesus was so divine that he lost his humanity. And St. Ignatius of Antioch, speaking to the Smyrnans, says in combating them, that they abstain from the Eucharist. And the reason they abstain is they don't believe it's the body and blood of Christ. And think about it, because they didn't believe that Jesus really had a body and blood. So the early church, in a way beyond rhetoric or even preaching or even singing, what'd they do? Well, they celebrated the Eucharist to affirm the living Word, the incarnate Word, a Word beyond words, a mystery, a sacred mystery. Love is a sacred mystery. So they celebrated the Eucharist. You know, this is powerful, folks. Do you know Jesus shows up at every Mass personally for each one of us personally? If you were the only one ever in the history of the world to accept Jesus, he'd have done everything he did for you. And he shows up at every Mass for you, for me. That incarnation 2,000 years ago is brought from 2,000 years ago sacramentally right now into the present. Today, he is here for you, for me. He is not an ancient memory. He is not something just from the past. He comes through word. He comes through spirit. But he also comes to us through sacrament, sacred mystery. The other thing he does is the sacrifice of Calvary. No greater love has anyone than to lay down their life for their friends. Jesus laid down his life for us on Calvary. Out of love. And that sacrifice of Calvary is sacramentally extended into the here, into the now. And it is sacramentally repeated. Oh, not another shedding of blood. That would mean the first shedding of blood wasn't all we needed. That's all we need. But that reality is sacramentally repeated in every man for you, for me. His love is now. It is real. I don't think we all grasp this. We all believe it, but do we grasp it? So you remember Saving Private Ryan? They went to get Private Ryan. They brought him out, the movie. Tom Hanks was the commander. They go to get him. They bring him out. They fight a little. They think they're home free, and then they run into that last ambush, that last village. And Tom Hanks takes a bullet. It's a mortal wound. And he did it to save Private Ryan. All the commander wanted to do was go home and see his family. And he's on that bridge dying. Private Ryan runs over to him. The commander reaches up, grabs him by the collar, and he says, and he knows he's dying. And he says, now, go earn it. Just live a good life. The scene dissolves to Private Ryan before the commander's grave. And he's weeping. His wife comes up to him. She says, what's wrong, honey? He chokes out through the tears. He says, just tell me I've lived a good life. She says, oh, look at me. I love you. Your kids are here. Your grandkids are here. None of this is possible without you. You've lived a great life. So at every Mass, take this walk through the liturgy, body, soul, spirit. And may the way we celebrate our Eucharist be changed. Be changed so that we can be born again at every Mass. I love you guys so much. God bless you. Every day is an opportunity to be a people of praise, to walk with an attitude of gratitude. You know, there's only two kinds of people in the world, successful and unsuccessful, happy and unhappy. It has nothing to do with whether or not we face tragedy. It has everything to do whether we walk with an attitude of gratitude and whether or not we are a person of praise. So as I sing this, join in and let any of your negativity be turned around to positivity. Turn to God and all of His wonderful promises. Live with faith and hope. And especially, live with love. Try it with me now. Come, worship the Lord. For we are His people, the flock that He shepherds. Alleluia. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us.
Let us come with thanksgiving and sing joyful songs to the Lord. Come, worship the Lord, for we are His people, the flock that He shepherds. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.